And the town of Discovery Bay Community Services is in order. If you would please rise and join Director Mayor in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. Now it's time for public comment. Anything that's not currently on the agenda, I have one speaker card, Mr. Stella. Would you like to step up to the microphone? We're recording, so that's, it helps us. Should be live.
Is it live?
No, it's not.
Now?
Virgil, can you?
I'll speak up.
Just push and hold the button.
Live now.
It's live now.
Two of the best.
Thank you, Al. All yours.
Gentlemen, I'm a 32-year resident of Discovery Bay, and lately I haven't been here often, but the issue I'm raising is, I think, is extremely serious. My daughter has an estate in the Silverado area, and so because of the fires, I got intricately involved. My story is that I think the fires are spread by a combination of high winds and burning amber originating in the trees. They in turn go from tree to tree. They set the fire, the building's on fire. The long story is that in 6 hours, approximately a 20 square mile area was on fire. People who were there, who the authorities had no idea how this whole thing came about. A friend of mine drove through a heap of fire in his motorhome, and his wife and two dogs, and lost everything. His house and everything burned clear to the ground. My daughter was watching. Anyhow, the reason why I'm bringing this issue up, because I believe that an event like what happened in Napa could have very easily happened in Discovery Bay. We have a lot of trees. These trees have been stressed over the years by a combination of long periods of drought, and then this summer, temperatures in excess of 110 degrees for extended periods of time. As a result, if you go around in our community with this in mind, you will see many trees that are just ready to crack the nest. The native trees, such as pine and alder, as well as other, should be examined. And unless there is vigorous green growth removed or cut back drastically in hopes of future recovery, high, dry weeds should be addressed. In past years, there was a government body that cited property owners. I don't know if that's still in existence. On the non-native trees, the eucalyptus trees cannot be made fire safe under any circumstances. We learned that during the Oakland firestorm, that where a good friend of mine too and lost his house. The problem with the palm trees is twofold with any species. There are many of them in town that have 10, 20 years of accumulation of dry branches that are hanging down that can be set on fire on a moment's notice. And then when they cut the trees, there is a piece left on the trunk which is sit there, let it dry, which is practically match-like. In my estimation, the palm trees should be cut back clear to the top where there are only green, vigorously growing leaves. I'm asking the council to take this into consideration, advise the community that this serious danger does exist, and take look at our landscaping to see if we can mitigate this kind of issue for the future.
Great, thank you very much. Just for your two things. Number one is I will refer this to our Park and Landscaping Committee to take a look at. We all have your letter here, so we've got that information. And sitting in the back of the room is our fire department. He's also heard your presentation.
Thank you.
We'll set that up. So thank you very much for your concern.
I don't know.
Very good point. Thanks. Any other public comment?
We get moving
on to consent calendar.
Move approval.
Moving second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Area agency reports. One second, please.
We are very much in this. Remember.
Chief Helmut, please. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the first time. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Chief.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So they're referencing, I got just promoted to permanent chief, which is an honor and privilege. So I'll be thanking you for the thank yous. And there's a lot of work to be done. So tonight I actually want to provide a list of updates of things that are going on, not only within the district, but also services trying to provide here to the residents of Discovery Bay. I'll provide you an operational report at the end, but I think it's better going through these items than hand this to you and look at it after the fact. There's really not much to look at here tonight. I'll give you all the details. But again, you already hit on the fact that I got promoted to permanent chief. So as we continue our conversations, you'll be seeing me under my designees being here. My objective, obviously, being here, not as infantry now, but I hope to finish my career here. So I hope to not only pick up the ball that we have here, but run with it for a long time, and I'm looking forward to working with all of you to help us get us where we need to go, because our organization has a lot of room for growth. In regards to the district, as many of you are aware, is that we are going through a rebuilding process. We're trying to establish a solid foundation, and we're working towards having not only a solid foundation, but also working on our governance. And at the last meeting, one of the biggest discussions we had was in regards to elections. Currently, we're a 9-member board. I have 9 bosses I report to.
No.
And they had to work on a discussion in regards to what they, and right now they're appointed. So we have 2 appointed from the county, we have 3 appointed from the city of Oakland, and 4 appointed from the city of Brentwood. And we're moving towards an elected board in November of 2018. The board had a discussion in our last meeting that they had a call for an election, and we're doing an all-male election starting in early January, but the election will be completed at the beginning of March. And what they're going to be doing is going out and asking to reduce the board to an elected 5-member board versus a 9-member board. The second part of that conversation was, do they want to do it by wards or divisions, or do they want it to be at large? It was a very long conversation that we had at our last meeting. The board has decided to move forward with having at-large elections, and so you will see that I'm working on right now, taking to our next meeting, a resolution that would call for an election starting early next year for it to go to a 5-member board, and that would be an at-large election. And so if that is the way it sticks through going to a vote next meeting, that's what we'll be doing. But that's a very important thing to note in regards to our governance and direction that we're going. Secondarily is, as we work on the elected board and we start identifying our pathway as a district, we need to, right now we have what is called a master plan. And our master plan gives us the thresholds of the time responses we should meet for specific areas, the number of stations we should have for a jurisdiction. But the district currently does not have a plan that describes how we would get from where we are today and how we would get to achieve our master plan. And so what we're working on right now is I'm putting out an RFP, I actually worked on today, a request for proposal, to work with a consultant that will be awarding the position to sometime in December, is to start doing a strategic planning and economic planning process starting in January. So I'll continue providing updates as we award and we start working with a consultant. It will be done with all of our stakeholders. It will be the community is welcome and allowed to participate in that process. We welcome it. And again, that strategic plan is going to discuss how we increase services, what the services look like, the time frame it takes to implement them, what the economic cost is to those, and today's costs and future costs, and then we'll also identify opportunities to increase revenue. So we'll explore them, and then the board will take direction on where we go. So really just setting the table, but we plan on doing this discussion starting in January of next year. So stay tuned for that. Also, trying to increase our community engagement and involvement, we have established an internal public education and public outreach group that's working hand in hand with the board's outreach group. And one of the mechanisms or tools that we're trying to establish and start doing on a regular basis is open houses at all of our stations. We have three stations, one in Oakley, one here in Discovery Bay on Bixler, and one in Brentwood on Balfour. And quarterly, we're going to be rotating. The packet I hand you here will identify on October 28th at the Oakley station from 10 to 1, we're having an open house. In March, on March 10th, we'll be holding one at Discovery Bay. When we get that flyer done, we'll share it, and we welcome all of you to come to learn a little bit about what we do, our services. And we'll also be inviting a lot of our partners that we work with operationally day to day. So it'll be kind of a little mini safety fair running out of our station. That'll begin on March 10th from 10 to 1, and I'll share that with you as we move forward. In regards to the, I'll hit on the vegetation hazard comments that came up. I'm in tune with what has gone on in Santa Rosa and the Sonoma area. We actually sent an engine company over to that area. I've been getting a lot of questions of how you can't open stations, how can you send people out of county. It's a very fair and realistic and fair question. The way that we did it is by coming together as a team. That's the line personnel and executive staff. We essentially sent four of our members out, which left four gaps within the stations. And so all of our other members had to work extra shifts to cover their positions for them to go out of county. They returned back today, so they had about an 8-9 day deployment. And but what folks need to understand is that we did not reduce services to send people out of county, number one. And number two, not only the personnel that we sent out, the backstopping, the personnel that we had, the maintenance and wear and tear on our apparatus is all reimbursable. And the state is going to reimburse us for those measures. And so we look forward to supporting those that support us. And this is something we haven't done for 10 years. So it's actually, it's a big accomplishment for us operationally. And we look forward to doing that as we move forward. But on the vegetation abatement standards, we are actually one of the enforcing agencies. We get a lot of complaints when it comes down to residential, commercial, unoccupied properties for vegetation hazard abatement. I will openly admit that as a fire agency, we have not met the standard in regards to going out there and holding people accountable for some time. But with that being said, is that this last 3 months, I've been working with legal counsel, and we actually rewrote our plan. It won't be applicable for this vegetation season, but for next year, we will start sending out notices. If complaints come in or any of our personnel see something, we will send one notice initially, and then two more, and we'll actually have the ability to go on properties and abate the liens on properties if people don't respond accordingly to the protocols that we have. And so the very first phase of that is that getting the ordinance accepted at our meeting coming up here on November 6th. We have a public hearing that on our vegetation abatement standards that will be happening on the November 6th meeting. But next year we'll be in a position to help combat the very fair concerns residents have, and we share that responsibility with you. In regards to operational report, the Township of Discovery Bay and also the outskirts of Byron, they received 73 calls last month, and that's a little bit below your average of 66 calls that you see. Last year you had 799 calls. And it was not any substantial, we didn't lose any homes. We've had some pretty substantial accidents with rescue that we've been able to mitigate. But again, we are still running thin. Your response times are higher than they should be. They're about average of 10 minutes of response times per area. It should be closer to 7, preferably 5. So that does conclude my report. Obviously, I'm available for any questions, and I do appreciate you giving me time to meet with you today. And here's the operational reports, and we have a flyer on the back in regards to the open houses.
So a question, Chief, yes, on the, I happened to be there when they did the votes, and the at-large versus the ward or divisions.
Yes.
Is a big topic, and it really set in a couple of days after. Is that still in negotiations, or is it a done deal?
So nothing's done, just as the board that you have here. Obviously, I work for the voice of the board. We had a long discussion, we had the opportunity to be part of. Anyone that's interested to see it, it's actually, you can go archive, it's on our website at ECCFPD.org. And the video is there so other people can see the conversation. The direction at the last meeting was available for the resolution to take that action. That action has to be voted upon. So that will be a discussion that will be had at our November 6th meeting. And if it stays true to where we were last meeting, then yes, we'll be at loss. But if the board decides to go in another direction, we'll adjust.
Great.
Thank you.
Yep. Chief, the at-large decision could very easily leave low populated areas unrepresented on the board then. If it's an at-large, if there's just five people within the district being nominated, the high population concentration areas would tend to, logically, you would think they would tend to be able to put in the people that they want because they have more votes. And doesn't that alienate the county areas when you have the concentration of populations in two cities?
That's a fair question. So I'm not a lawyer, but I do work in the Hamilton People Council. We have explored the options between wards and being at large. I think that concern that you bring is a valid concern, but it can happen with wards and or even at large. The concern being that you'd have one city particularly that would have the full member or all the board would represent that one community. Due to the size, now if we had wards, they would all be equal in regards to the size of population, but the way that the ward is set up, there's a lot of criteria that they need to follow to set up a ward. But the population would be equal to each of the wards, but there's the probability that four of those wards would still also represent one city due because of the size. So we have analyzed, we've looked at other city councils that have been presented with not only litigation but also the setup. And the hardest part about wards versus at large is that a lot of the concerns and complaints that come out in regards to how they're formed or what is done, it happens after. It's not in your preparing for, it's actually the way the election goes and what happens throughout the election. So at this point, we are aware of the challenges and the concerns of at-large versus the wards. All of those concerns have been presented to the board, and they still feel to fill the seats. If we were to fill the seats, how difficult it may be already to fill five positions for a board. If it was in wards, the complexity of that. And so again, I think the conversation is going to continue, but they are aware of those situations, and I believe that they feel that they're safe this time.
That concern grows a little bit deeper with those comments from the standpoint of seven of the nine people that are making this decision represent the two cities that are involved, and not the outlying areas or those of us that have already been hit hard by closures, you know.
And so the nine panel board, as I discussed, as it was, we have four from Burlington, three from Oakley, two from unincorporated areas. It was a 7-2. It was a 7-2 vote. But I will say that one of the no's was from the city, and also one from being the county, but also from the county one was a yes. So again, it was heavy into being at large. So and I do understand that the sensitivity around this, and I think that the concerns that have been expressed to me from citizens of which we serve, I understand that. But again, as the general manager, my focus is the jurisdiction, and not a particular geographic area.
Sure, and I think that what that really does is just the responsibility on those of us in the unincorporated area to put a good candidate together that's going to be supported and make sure that we're represented. So it's not like we're without action to make it happen.
No, and I agree that completely. I think that you guys are very fortunate of the talent that you have within your community. I will tell you that we have members from your community that are very engaged in the services that we provide. So you guys have really good talent. From this area, it's just a matter of being one of the campaigns.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions or comments? Nothing else? Chief, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you again. Once again, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Next item, Mueller report. Kern.
September and August combined. So we continue our safe practices, almost 3,000 safe work days, 140,000 work hours. for the month of August and September, staff safety practices, and also at safety training, I'm sorry, operation training on the new filter and its components in August and September. All reports were submitted on time. All wells are running and active, but we have 104 million gallons produced in the month of September. And you can see we're kind of staying on track, compared to still below our 2013, which is about 21% reduction compared to 2013 on water savings and chemical use. Wastewater, August and September, everything went very well except that when we started up the filters, we did have four violations on a total 7-day coliform when the filters came online, and some research and investigation had to be done by the engineers, contractor, and manufacturer to find out what issues those are, and they're still unknown at this time.
So the situation is solved?
Well, we don't know what's solved. It's improved. We're back to normal, but we just don't know what the cause was. Yeah.
So we're not in violation?
No, we're not. All lift stations, we did have one SSO in September. We had an ARB on force main over here on Newport fail. Due to a manufacturer defect, we had to switch brands, and we're dealing with the manufacturer to get that resolved because their manufacturer rep came out. Because this happened a year ago, the same ARB we installed, the manufacturer came out and rebuilt it because it failed, and it failed again, so we had to go to a different brand of ARB, and we're still working with the manufacturer to find out what caused it to fail and what they're going to do about the issue. We have started and actually completed today our sewer line assessments. We're assessing the whole Discovery Bay community. At the time of this report, we had done over around 52,000 feet. We actually up to 180,000 now as we finished. And from maintenance-wise, staff continues to do a good job on keeping backlog and maintenance current and keeping backlog to a minimum. And the one, we did have one emergency power outage in August, and it was due to a big, huge bird landed at plant one on the power pole.
That's it. Any questions for Bernie?
A crane, it seems like.
I didn't say I can see this part.
Thank you very much.
Looks like a crane.
When do you think the engineers will be able to figure out what the costs are?
I'll have your engineer.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So
we're going to talk about it later, though.
It's not on the agenda, okay. So it's.
Go ahead.
As Bernie pointed out, we had four violations of our NPDES permit when the filters came online. We immediately turned off the filters and then started doing testing of trying to resolve what the issue is. Where that testing included, carefully running tests on each channel, the UV system, turning on the filters one channel at a time, one day at a time, running it all together, running them separate. So there's about four or five combinations of ways we could run it. We ran it every way we could, and we had no violations, and we met the spec on all the equipment. So we brought in the vendors, Trojan and Parkson. Trojan did some additional testing on the water to confirm how well the UV light will kill in the water, and it came back exactly as we had done before, what we saw 5 or 6 years ago when we did the same test. So long and short of it, we've gone like 10 days, and we haven't been able to repeat it. We haven't been able to make it happen again. And none of the vendors, the contractor, or myself can really discern what happened. We can't seem to find one thing that caused this to happen, other than it's not happening anymore. So we're going to continue this week with normal operations and deal with just running the plant, and we'll see where we go. But our feeling is, based on our testing, is some unknown thing happened, and we're going to be fine going forward. So. We'll know more at the end of this week, but if we get through this week, then that'll be basically 2.5 weeks for we tried everything we can to break it, and we can't, and so we don't know what happened before.
So the filters are online?
Oh, yeah. Everything is online. We're actually running, the whole plant's running, and technically we're making Title 22 water right now. We're not permitted for that, but we are making that water.
Thank you, Barry.
Next on to business and action items, item number one is the county's draft urban farm animal ordinance. The general manager.
Yes, at our last board meeting on October 4th, the board heard a presentation from the county on a draft urban farm animals ordinance. Alicia Nichols from Supervisor Diane Burgess's office stated that if there was objection to the ordinance, the town should write a letter in opposition. This item is before you to consider authorizing the board president to sign such a letter.
I think at the conclusion of our discussion last time, it was, I will hazard a guess that it was pretty unanimous that we were in opposition to this ordinance, and we would like to get that information, our opposition, to the supervisor's office so she can take appropriate action at the county level.
I read the letter. I think it's fine. The only addition I might add in there, we did state to ask the county to keep Discovery Bay out of their ordinance zone, keep us as we are now. But I think when the county was here, they mentioned we're a P district, a P1 district, or plan. And so maybe we need to add that little bit of clarification in there to keep us a plan district, and if that adds any strength to our letter. Thank you.
Any comments or questions? Can that statement be added to the letter?
I'm not quite sure. Could you repeat that?
Something along the lines that we're a planned
community. He did give the category P.
Yeah,
P1.
P1, planned district. And if we could come up with some verbiage to insert into the letter to give it a little more strength for the county so they could justify it, saying we're just not trying to opt out. We are a special planned area, and we'd like to keep ourselves this way.
Or would we want to say that regardless of what opt out, whatever it is, we don't want it within the county discovery bay?
Exactly.
Well, let's keep it real simple. Okay. We don't have to get into P's and R's.
However we want to do it, whatever.
Okay.
I think make it very directive. Within the confines of the corporate boundaries of the town of Discovery Bay, urban farm animals, not welcome.
And if leveraging our classification helps, use it, but use your best judgment on that.
Okay.
I make a motion that we accept the letter as is and send the opposition off. And if there are any modifications regarding the P or any other small pieces that you have the discretion to put in.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second to approve the letter with the modifications mentioned here. Any other further discussion?
And authorize the board.
Authorize the board president to sign. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Moving on to item number two, discussion and possible action regarding the diffuser inspection and engineering report.
Okay, guys, so our diffuser is broken. You may not know we have a diffuser, so we have in Wolf River is our effluent comes from treatment plant number two and goes to Old River. And in Old River, the state wasn't happy that we didn't dump our water in Old River. They want to gently diffuse into Old River, so we built a diffuser in compliance with the cease and desist order from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, I think in 2002. We've periodically been doing inspections on that, and we did an inspection on that about 4 years ago, and we found that portions of the diffuser have become broken and some sand has gotten into the diffuser. Why do we care? Well, as part of starting up the filter project, we were checking the effluent pump station and the capacity of all the facilities, and we found out, lo and behold, we no longer have the facility capacity. We thought the ability to pump to Old River the amount of water we thought we could. And the likely cause is the failure of the diffuser. So this is an agenda item to authorize the contract with Worley Parsons. They bought out the original design firm Comex that designed the diffuser. And then also there's an a line item for a diver to go down and do a second inspection of the diffuser. They will prepare a report based on the updated findings, along with cost estimates to repair the diffuser, and then that report would come back to the board in further direction when provided at that time.
The design just stays the same.
They may make a different recommendation or whatnot, but it's a pretty similar design. Rio Vista has the same design as the budget plants that have a similar kind of design. They may make a recommendation or whatnot depending on what kind of damage they see.
Any other questions?
Yeah. If I remember, I left my notes at home, so I apologize. I'll try to remember what I had written. When you found this at 2004, I think, is when you said it was installed?
When we installed it, yeah.
And 2013 is when they found that some of the, that there was issues with it.
Yeah, right.
So that's about 9 years, right?
Right, yeah.
Is that the expected life of these things?
Well, the expected life is if it is made out of plastic. Made out of HDPE, high-density polyethylene plastic, but there can be physical damage. So, like if something hits it, if
debris,
debris, a floating log or something, it's buried in the sand. So the way the diffuser works is the main part of the diffuser is buried in the sand, and these ports that stick up to the sand. So if you were to like swim down there, you should just see ports sticking out of the sand, right? But we also know that when we did our original study, the sand moves in Old River. It doesn't stay the same elevation. So when you get high flows, sand washes out a little bit, and you get low flows, it builds back up. So the diffuser can get exposed, depending on what the weather's doing and how the flow in the river is. And in that condition, it can get hit maybe by a boat or a boat anchor. It's about 20 feet deep, so I don't think the boat hits it, but it's about maybe a boat anchor or submerged debris. That might be floating down the river. So if it didn't get hit, I don't suspect that it would last forever, kind of thing. But that's clearly something that's damaged. About 5 of the ports are missing. So something has to hit it to take that port off. I mean, it's a physical pipe. And it's very strong. It's plastic, so it will not rust and stuff, but it's very strong. So something's got to hit it to take it off. So other than that, I don't know if we can say something won't hit it again in the future, but this is the problem we face now.
Yeah, so we're a number of 13 years later, do we have better products? Is this a normal life for it? Do we look at everything?
Is it normal to have repairs after 13 years? I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on diffusers. That's why we hired a consultant. But, the materials are there. Let's put it this way. The vast majority of the diffuser is just fine. There's 28 ports and 4 or 5 of them are missing. So far, okay, we have an issue with some of them, but the majority of the diffuser is just fine. We're sitting down a new diver to inspect and know for sure since the last report before we come up with recommendations. But if there was significant damage, then I think the recommendations might recommend we do more than just patch it up, that we should replace something with something of different material or something.
Maybe a different question, Greg. Is there a standard with regard to sending divers down there to look and see what you've got, as we send divers into water tanks?
Yeah, so Worley Parsons is going to be working with the diver to describe more precisely what we want. Originally, we just sent a diver down, go down and tell us what you see. That was the first shot at, right? So this time around, we got Worley Parsons will be directing the divers specifically on what they want to see. They're also going to attempt to take video of it so they have a little bit better record.
Did the video showed in your report, I'm sorry, the video showed in your report optional, are you saying that you're going to do it?
Yeah, so if you look at the full dollar amount, they're going to TV the inside of it.
Sure.
When we send a diver down, we'll try and get video of the outside. It depends on how murky the Old River is, so depending on the time of year, you can't see anything. They can see something contracted.
And the reason for my question is obviously is the money that's involved is fairly expensive.
And if
we're going to have to look at doing this every 9 years or 10 years, we need to.
Yeah, I think when we set the goals for, because the engineers are going to come on and say, okay, we recommend this, we're going to ask stuff like, how long is this going to last? Should we consider other repairs or other protections to the diffuser while we're down there working, that kind of thing. So I think those types of things will come out.
all yours, Grayson.
I was just going to say, a few years ago, we remember sending divers down and had to repair those parts of those diffusers. So it's occasional. I don't do it every year.
Yeah. So far, we've only looked. We haven't repaired. So we've looked. That's what that was a few years ago. We looked. And then it was kind of like, not a big deal. We should keep going on. But now we're seeing that it's affecting the capacity of the treatment plant, and we need to fix it.
Greg, does when we put that manifold in, was the pumping station at Las Vaqueras already in, or did it go in afterwards?
Yeah, no, it was in.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's not any extra motion of the water or anything causing
it? Yeah, no, it was in. In fact, we put it in and go in the Contra Costa Water District. The Rec 800, the Contra Costa Water District had a sort of diffuser on Rec 800 discharge. We did it both at the same time.
I couldn't call. Thank you.
The only question I have that exactly. Isn't much we can do about it. It sure seems like a lot of money, $33,000 a year. Give us a report on what suggestions they have. I see how they justify it.
$3,500. There are a lot of people that design diffusers.
Right.
That's the problem. They just aren't. In fact, these are the only people we know that do it. I know of nobody. Oh, he searched. You can type in diffuser design on the internet or something, and nothing comes up. Okay, so we had to, because since they bought out the old company, it took me like a few weeks to find these guys to figure out what happened to the old company, where they go, where their engineers go, who's qualified. Alcohol is just aren't common. They're not common.
So it's they have a blank check.
It's a specialty thing, and you know what?
I don't have a team of engineers knocking on my door saying, can I do it for you? This is me going, please come work on my computer.
Any other questions? Do I hear a motion with regard to the staff recommendation?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. Are there any informational items? Directors' reports, standing committees.
So today Park and Rec met, and we talked about the green play, helped us do some planning for how we fund and schedule. So we're moving forward on that. And then also, Director Pace, you can tell us about what you're working on there.
Well, we had a visit with the pickleball people. And at our last meeting, I suggested they do a noise survey of the surrounding neighbors just to get a feel for how the neighbors felt about their association. They came back and said they went to 29 homes, but five of them they couldn't talk to, so I think it's 24. But I'm not sure if they surveyed the way that I would ask the question, and that is, are you bothered by the noise? They just asked, are you concerned about changing tennis to pickleball? So. They're going to give a report to staff and actually what they did. They also, at the time, today, volunteered to pay for all of the repairs needed to make the tennis court into a pickleball court.
What?
All of this is going to be coming to the full board as we move further down the road. So that update is yours.
Where did they get the money?
I went to three meetings. I'll update you as quickly as I can. The ECCFPD outreach, I went to that. They're talking about, and the chief talked about it briefly, getting the media, social media working and word out. Chief has been very transparent, so meeting was just defining how they get onto Twitter, Facebook, and other social media entries. So it was a good meeting. The other one's the ECCFPD Finance Committee, and they're into, the chief has been into looking, digging deep, trying to find all of the monies. You just saw the one report that he found $3.2 million, he and Joe Young on the board. So they're digging into all the procedures, and one of them was the use of credit cards. For the past dozen years, they used personal credit cards and then put it back in, which is really not the right way to go. So. They're going to P cards, and they're going through the process of planning that. So a pretty good meeting for that. The last meeting was a P6 meeting. That was just, I think, last week. There was one action, so there was two things out of it I thought that were worth mentioning. One is that the sheriff came in with a report on the traffic citations. We had asked in this meeting if he could give us something that showed a more formal report instead of scribbled notes or verbal comments. He does now have a report. He showed it to us, how many citations were given and where they were. So I think we'll see that the next report in here, so that was real good. The other thing was that they asked for our help, although we do not wager into that with our responsibilities. They asked if our general manager could take a look at grants. And the grant would be for license plate readers coming into town or in vehicle. There's two different options that we have. To give you an example, for the in the vehicle, it's about $18,000 to equip a car, a law enforcement car, with these cameras. Three cameras total in this. I think the city of Richmond, Alamo, and there's one other, it could be Pittsburgh, that is now going into putting those in. There's a few towns that have them in currently. So it's a little bit of a pricey thing. The difference between the car, according to the sheriff's department, and the pole, if we put a pole up here reading, is that the sheriff's car is immediate. If they get an alert that there's a stolen car, the car is right there and they can go chase it. If it's on a pole, it records. So the car is gone by the time they realize that the vehicle is there. So there's some discussion there. But they did ask, is there any grants out? And I know that we have some connections with that, and they asked for our assistance if we could give them that.
That's it. Any other reports? I attended the quarterly meeting of the Contra Costa Special Districts Association, and there was a long and lively discussion with regard to property tax allocation, reallocation as it respects East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. Had a presentation from somebody from Sacramento that was very into the history between Prop 13, AB 8, AB 194, all the legal ramifications of property tax allocation. Chief Helmut came and gave a presentation with regard to East Contra Costa Fire Protection District and where they're headed in the current kind of situation. And then we also had the folks from East County Voters. Hal Bray was there, also Bob Mankin from here Discovery Bay came and spoke with regard to some of the issues. So anyway, there's a lot of people that are now far better informed about what the issues are with regard to East Costa County Fire. That, I guess, that concludes reports. Manager's report, manager reports.
Yeah, just a little housekeeping. With the upcoming holidays in mind, I know that in the past there's been occasions when the regular board meeting has been canceled due to the proximity of a holiday to the meeting date. Prior to any board meeting cancellation, I will confirm with board members that there are no items for the agenda.
Sounds good to me. Good protocol. Thank you. Let's see, correspondence, any questions on that? Any future agenda items? Hearing none, move to closed session, legal counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session per the items listed on the agenda as N1 and N2.